Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
You've been through stuff, right? And maybe there's some undealt with things between you and the Lord, and you're maybe feeling like, does God want to help me? Right now, Holy Spirit, I ask you to go deep into those hearts and minister the love of God, redemption of God, bring truth in the inmost parts in accordance with your word. I see you changing things in hearts today and bringing life where there was death, bringing life where there was discouragement. You know, death in the Bible often just means separated from God. Remember in the Garden of Eden, the Lord told him, don't eat the fruit lest you die. And then you say, well, but they ate it and they didn't die. Well, they did die spiritually. They became separated from him. He didn't want that. But there came this rift. And so if you're born again, you never have to walk in that rift again. Never. As long as you live, you can walk in him. But to do that, you have to believe what the word says. You have to believe that the word is more powerful than you are. It's more powerful than your errors. There's someone here, you feel like you took the wrong road and went some long way off the course, and you're not sure how to get back in the center of God's will, and you're not even sure. I'm just sensing this is one person. You're even wondering, does he really want me to? And I see him just loving you and longing for you and saying, I can put you right back in the center of my will in 1 second if you'll let me. Because see, my forgiveness is instant. And I make it as though it never happened. But if you dwell on it and churn on it and talk about it and let your emotions go with it and let the devil beat you up, right? Then you can stay out there, but you don't have to. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness immediately and permanently. There's no one who's ever done it right except Jesus. There isn't anyone. None of us have ever done it right. And somehow, I'm hoping everyone in here has been born again. And to do that, you had to trust that his blood was more powerful than your sin or your past life or your whatever, your amphetamines, your whatever your thing was, whatever your problems were. But now once you're saved, you still have to believe. You're still required to believe that his blood is greater. His word is greater. His power is greater than our shortcomings, which we have many. Otherwise, how will you walk in victory? How will you walk in the acceptance of God? How will you walk in fellowship with him every day? How will you do it? You can't. If you're feeling like, I don't know if God wants me. If you don't know if God wants you, you don't know God. If you're born again, and I hope if you're not born again, please come and see me at the end. Because Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. But if you're born again, the Bible says you were born from above. Do you realize that that means you are a heavenly being in an earthly body? Do you realize that that means you're God's own seed, his own child? Do you know what Jesus said that in John 17? That even as God loved him, he loves you? That's past our understanding, isn't it? That's past our understanding, so we must receive it by faith. Because there's some things in the word that seem too good to be true or too impossible because we're so busy looking at ourselves and our circumstances and what happened, and we're judging God by what happened to us. We form doctrine based on our experience. Or we decide that maybe God's mad, or maybe God hasn't chosen me, or you know, maybe he likes that guy better. Maybe that person has favor and I don't know. Really, that's not it at all. God loves his children. He is always beckoning, always calling, always drawing. Now, there are some people who will refuse, but you're not one of those, or you wouldn't be here. And so let the blood of Jesus, which, listen, the blood of Jesus ever speaks. Forever. It wasn't just for that day, and it wasn't just for the day you got born again. The blood of Jesus continually speaks day and night over you. The blood of Jesus is constantly crying out to wash your sin, to bring you closer, to make it right between you and the Father. We have an advocate with the Father. He ever lives to make intercession or to stand in the gap, to say, Father, this one's mine. I know they messed up a little, but I'm washing it away, so we can't remember that anymore. Gone. You say, how many times? 70 times 7? 70 times, 70 times, 70 times, 70 times, 70 times, 70 times. And guess what? His mercy is new every morning. Every morning we start over. So if we can accept by faith the truth of the word, we don't have to walk disillusioned or hurt or wounded or feel like we were rejected by God. This is the good news. This is the gospel message. It's the good news that God loved the unlovable. And you know why he loves you so much? Do you know that God sees you not as you are walking in the natural with your faults? He sees you as you could be. He sees you as you're called to be. He sees you as he designed you in heaven, which you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and God sees you in that light. And he is beckoning that we would get a hold of what his word says. You know, I used to be a down Christian, you know, because I didn't get it. I just couldn't get the truth. I couldn't get a hold of it. I just didn't get it. You know, one day I heard this great man of God. I mean, this man carries the power. He carries the presence, this guy. And I was watching him on TV, and he said, if you lose your joy, you're in error. And I thought, oh, that's not true. Do you know what? The older I get, the more I realize that's true. When you lose your joy, it's because you don't really believe the solution is here, or that God has fixed it, or that it's going to change, or that God's coming through. So you're bound by your circumstance. You're bound by what's around you, because your visual, your focal point is this earth. I don't know if you're allowed to say this as a preacher, but earth sucks, okay? It stinks. And there are terrible things that go on in the earth. And if we get too caught up in that, we won't be heavenly minded. We have to get our focus so in heaven that we so know the truth of God that when something happens, we go, oh, how are you going to fix that? I know you're going to fix it. I'm not going to try to tell you how. See, don't try to control God. Don't tell him how to do it. Just believe he will fix it. That's what he does. He rules the kingdom, always looking for ways to bless, to heal, to prosper, to make it right. And you say, well, then why doesn't he do it? Because there's an enemy who hates you, A, and B, we make some poor choices sometimes. Sometimes we don't make the right choices. Good news, God will redeem us from even that if we will walk closer. It's a journey. I've seen this thing that we, as you know, we're stuck in time. God is not. So we judge ourselves based on today. We judge our life based on today. We look at today. God's not stuck in time. God's already made the decision about you. You hear me? If you're born again, God's already made the decision about you. Unless you renounce him, God's made the decision about you that you're going to walk in glory. And he is going to do, if your choices will let him, I said, if your choices will let him, he is going to bring you to a place of honor. He's going to bring you to a place of blessing. But if you don't really believe the word, then you walk around like I used to, you know, in depression, or like, is this ever going to be fixed, or doesn't God care? Wah, wah, wah. Because I didn't really know him. I didn't really get it. And I was in a faith church where they were constantly talking about the power of the word of God. And I would hear it, and I think it went in one ear and out the other, and I just didn't really grasp it yet. But over time, here's what I want to say. This is a journey. We expect perfection today of ourselves. We expect us to, by golly, get it right, you know? And when it doesn't happen right away, sometimes we get discouraged, but you have to understand, God doesn't give you everything at once. Because you have to grow in stewardship, you have to grow in maturity, because the more you grow in Him, and the less you become, can I say it that way, the fuller you get of God. Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest of men born of women. Wow. Why would he say that about him? I believe it's because John, remember Jesus said the least shall be the greatest, right? People at the very back of the wedding, he's going to say, hey, you back there, come on up here. Because if you humble yourself, you will be exalted. And John the Baptist was able to say and mean it, he must increase. I must decrease.
Amen.
Well, when you start to trade in your life for his, your dream for his, your ministry for his, now God looks to find a way to bring you into honor, to bring you into favor, because that's the heart he's looking for. And all this stuff you go through when you're young in the Lord is him trying to get truth to you that it's not about you, it's about the kingdom. We are, you know, the problem with being Adam's seed? I hope you understand what I'm talking about. It says, by one man, death passed on all upon all men, right? Adam screwed up. Adam and Eve, they screwed up. And we were born into their corrupted nature. That's why you had to be born again into his nature, right? That's why Jesus had to come to make it even possible that we could have the nature of God, which Adam and Eve, they were born into the nature of God. They were created in God's image. They were perfect before they blew it. Think of what they had. Think of what they walked in. The image of God. They walked in his power. They walked in his love. They walked in his compassion. They had his full brain power. They had it all and blew it through disobedience. And that passed upon all of us. And one of the things that happened was we ceased being able to really see spiritually the truth. So even when God said it, or even if God brought a preacher who said it, we couldn't always hear it, because these things are spiritually discerned. The Bible says that the carnal mind cannot understand spiritual things. To that person, it's foolishness. They just hear blah, blah, blah. They can't, if you're carnally minded, even if you're born again, if you're carnally minded, you're thinking according to the world system. And carnal doesn't mean dirty, it just means of the senses, right? Okay. I see it this way, I saw that, this happened, that's how I used to be. I'm not condemning you, I did that because I was clueless. But the journey is, you're not going to be perfect today, you're not going to probably be perfect tomorrow, but there's this journey, and the journey isn't to become perfect or get, well, I don't want to use the wrong word. We would say get holy. We think holy means don't sin. But holy means other, completely separated, not like them. Come out from among them and be separate. Some of you have been around, God bless them, Christians who have not separated themselves unto the Father. We love them. We bless them. And our job is to help them, not judge them. But we are not to be like that. We're to come out from among them and be separated unto him. And he will call us to things that may not be easy. Because if you want to run with the crowd, it won't always be easy. If you want to run with the crowd and do what they do, you'll never rise above certain things, because the crowd usually won't go where Jesus goes. I pray for the day to come when they do. But if we want to be holy, I'm speaking scriptures now, be holy as he is holy, be holy as I am holy. It means, when it says he's holy, it means he's not like any other God. He is separate. He's not like all those fallen angels, all those other gods that tried to raise up the people in Mesopotamia and in the Middle East, and even the Israelites would worship these foul, stinking other gods. They would actually sacrifice their babies. Yeah, Because that's what that God required. If you were crossing across a certain land and you thought the God of that land was whatever his name was, you would actually, not you and not me, because I hate idols, I hate them. But in that day, even Israelites would try to make peace with those gods for favor. And God spoke clear and said, you shall have no other gods before me. And in this day, we don't see them in that same way. Well, we're starting to, because people are bringing them in from their countries. They're bringing in statues and idols. But that's not the God, it's the spirit behind it. Those are foul spirits. So when you shake hands with a foul spirit, not even knowing it, you just opened a door to some things that God doesn't want for you. Sometimes something happens to you and you say, did God punish me? I'm going to tell you right now, no, the devil did. The devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his job. But he can't do it because Jesus won over him. Right?
Right.
For this purpose was the Son of God manifest to destroy the works of the evil one. So how can a Christian get clobbered? This isn't always, sometimes the devil's just mean and he just does an attack and it happens. That happens when you, maybe you didn't even do anything. But I have seen people who wandered around in Satan's kingdom and didn't realize they were shaking hands with a fallen devil, a fallen angel, a devil. Is this too hard?
No, not hard.
So I know I've given this example before, but this is how God showed it to me. If someone goes to a strip joint or a pornography place or goes on their computer and starts dabbling in stuff, they don't realize that what they've done is worship a fallen God. And they've shaken hands in covenant because they've now submitted to something. The Bible says, whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servant you are. Everybody say, oh.
Yeah.
So now somebody can get clobbered. And I'm not saying it's always this, because sometimes the devil is just mean and he will tempt you. He will tempt you with destruction. He'll try to destroy you to see, do you know the word? Do you believe what God has said? Because most people don't. And I was guilty. I knew what it said. I got a good memory. I kind of knew what it said, but I didn't really believe it. One day God confronted me and he said loud and clear, he said, do you believe I am who I say I am? Now I know when God asks a question to be very careful what you say. He isn't asking because he doesn't know. Okay, he isn't asking. And you know what most Christians would want to say, and you want to go, sure, I believe you. But deep down I thought, uh-oh. He is telling me that I am not believing him. I'm discounting the truth in his word. I'm not saying it's true. Did you know? Let's just take one scripture. One of my favorites. I know you hear me talk about this a lot. But this scripture is like a sawzall. Okay? You know what a sawzall is? And no other tool works, you go get the sawzall. Right? Whatever you're opposing has no chance. Well, to me, there are some scriptures that are like a sawzall. One of them is Mark 11:23. And I've always felt like this. Once I learned how to use that scripture, it's a tool. Scriptures, they're given for many reasons. Yes, to correct us. Yes, to teach us. Yes, to give us insight into heaven. But they are also for us to use to clobber the enemy. He cannot stand up to the word in someone that believes it. He can stand up to somebody who doesn't really believe it. Because what he'll do is he'll try you. He'll test you. He'll say, what about now? I'm going to make it this worse. Do you really believe it? How about now? And he keeps pushing, because here's what happens to most Christians. And again, this was me. After about, you know, I'd stand strong and then I'd go. I would think, well, maybe God didn't want that. Or maybe I blew it too bad or whatever. And I would faint. The Bible says, faint not. You will reap the reward if you don't faint. And so what's Satan doing? He's testing you to see what you're made of. And see, when I didn't know this, I got clobbered a lot and walked in depression and sadness. I saw, there's a dear brother And I don't want to disrespect anybody, but I've known this guy for years, and I cannot remember a time that I saw this guy that he didn't look like. I mean, years I'm talking about. And I wanted, last time I saw him, I love him, but I wanted to shake him and say, "You, do you know that you need deliverance? I love you, but when?" See, and I had to, I'm sure there were people who wanted to slap me back in the day, because I believed all the garbage that was going on in my life. Come on, your circumstances can become your God.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Your circumstances can become your word, even though they're lying to you. Satan is waiting for somebody to stand up and say, "Oh, no, 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 no." So just, I want to give you Mark 11:23. "Whosoever shall say to this mountain, 'Be thou removed.'" And Jesus said it. They're in the red letters. Red letters. Now remember, he had the background of this. I know you know the story. He was with his disciples. He was looking for figs on a tree. But there wasn't any. He says, "One sentence, may no one ever eat fruit from you again." They go, they come back. Within 24 hours, most people, looks like it's more like 12 hours, the tree has withered from the root. It has died from the roots up because of one sentence spoken in faith. Now what we do is we say, "Well, that's just Jesus." But they said, they were surprised. Imagine that. They were surprised that the Son of God issued a command and it was obeyed that fast. They didn't get it. They were surprised. "But Lord," they said, "Lord, this, the tree that you cursed, it withered." Like, they just didn't get it. And he said, "I say to you, whosoever will say to this mountain, 'Be thou removed,' and 'Be thou cast in the sea,' and will not doubt in his heart, but will believe that those things he says will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now, here's what I found. What can a mountain be? A tumor? A sickness? A fever? A devil? It can be. One time when I was real young, you know how when you're real young in the Lord, you're just, you don't know anything and you're just real bold? I was living in this cabin that had the worst hard water I'd ever seen. It was so bad that the inside of the, I was living in this little cabin that had a hole in the roof. Loved it because it was on 15 acres. But this toilet, it kind of broke because it was so corroded. And I was trying to pretty good at fixing stuff, but I couldn't get that fixed. I got mad and said, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to work." And it went, and it worked. Now, you might think I'm weird, but I don't care. Here's what I believe. If your whole Bible was taken from you and you still had Mark 11:23, it would be almost impossible for the devil to defeat you. Really impossible, because what, I can only think of one thing. Really, I don't know of any problem that doesn't find its solution in Mark 11:23. It's a sawzall. If you believe it, and at first you may be like, "Well, what if I have a doubt? What if," you're gonna be doing the what ifs, but I'm gonna tell you something. As you walk in it, the journey is you'll grow stronger and stronger and stronger, and eventually you're going to have, you know, like, take out the wheels and try them. Mm-hmm. You're going to start taking out your faith and saying, "Okay, God, you said this, I'm believing you," and you're going to start changing things in your territory. Oh, come on. We were not put here to be subject to the devil's nonsense. We were put here to occupy or take over until he comes. We're supposed to take the territory and decide what goes.
Right.
We're supposed to take our county and decide what is allowed. Us, that's what the job of the church is. We forgot. We forgot, and so we started to allow things in the earth. And you know, I'm guilty. I used to, you know, you read the things about the end times that are in the Word, and if you're not careful, you could say, "Well, you know, it's kind of what's going to happen," and you just kind of, "Oh, well." But here's what I found out. If someone will stand in the gap and push back and say, "Oh, no," I'm not saying it won't happen. Jesus said certain things will happen. They'll happen. But it doesn't have to happen on my watch. It doesn't have to happen on your watch. I can't tell this story because it's somewhat political in nature, and I don't do politics at church. But about 3 years ago, I woke up seeing a vision about some political things that were really bad. that were really bad for this country. And I'm not a political person, I'm really not. You know, if it was up to me, I would just deal with, you know, the kingdom of God, that's all I would do. But when I saw this, I knew God was saying, this is really bad, it's really important, it's gonna impact this country, you need to deal with this in prayer. So I started to tell my friends, we started to pray, and we prayed 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 around. We prayed for several years on that thing. And in that praying, I saw things, but I didn't see them in the natural. You understand? It didn't look like any of it was happening. But I saw one thing and another and another and another. And I mean, like 2.5 years went by and I'm like, okay, I'm ready for something to break here. I know what I'm seeing. I know I'm seeing in the spirit. I know what you're showing me. And then one day, it's like somebody pulled a plug and it went pa-boom, 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 pa-boom. And I started watching all this stuff we had been praying for. If you will pray and faint not. And we want to pray according to his will. It says if we pray anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, we know we have the petition that we ask.
That's right.
Listen, we have a lot of power. There's a lot of power in this room. But here's what happens. I saw people come in. I saw people that felt defeated, struggling, you know, because, and I get it. I was there. I get it. But God is, he wants your journey to bring you to a place where you see the way he sees. You see the outcome as it is in heaven. And you bring that outcome into the earth with faith and with prayer. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I want to say, you know, jokingly, I was asking the Lord what to talk about tonight, and I didn't really, you know, I saw, well, during worship, I saw this enormous Bible come down. Huge, beautiful Bible. And I remembered the scripture, I have valued my word above my name. I have valued my word above my name. Come on. That means how we treat the word of God, how we believe it or don't, is really important. In the earth, it's important to God, but most of all, it's really important to you. You determine how things come out. By if you will believe the word or not. And I'm just going to be honest, I think I was probably the worst offender at this. I didn't know how to do faith. I was in a faith church. They preached faith until it was coming out your ears. And I remember thinking, oh, could we please talk about something else? Please, could we talk about something else? But you know what? I didn't really have it. And so when the devil came knocking, my life was a wreck. It was a wreck. And because I didn't know how to use the word of God in faith and say, oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 you're not doing that. You're not taking my kid. You're not taking my health. You're not taking my finances. You get, here's what, this is not a panel discussion, devil. You don't get to have an opinion. Here is how it's going to be. But you know what we do? We get weary and tired. We go, oh, my God. So we expect God to come riding in on this horse and fix it for us. No. He did. He bought it and handed it to you and said, what are you going to do with this? And that was hard news for me because I didn't get that. I thought, well, he loves me. I know I had a revelation. He loves me. Why doesn't he deal with this? It was horrible. It was a horrible situation. And I just thought, you know, out of sympathy, he should just come and fix it. You know what he was like? Like waiting for me to get a clue. Waiting for me to get a clue how things work in the kingdom. We need to learn how the kingdom operates. Because there's, listen, I'm trying to think of a good analogy, but I used to be in computers, okay? If you want things to work, you have to do it according to the rules. You have to, and I'm not talking about the law, I'm not talking about being good enough, but there are certain procedures and processes that you have to follow or it's not going to come out the way it's supposed to come out, period. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's called a system. In the Word of God, there are many systems that are so simple. But here's what we do. We want it to work our way. See, I wanted God to have compassion on me because he loved me. I wanted him to feel sorry for me. My whole life fell apart. I lost everything, everything that was dear to me. And I just thought, I knew he loved me, and it wasn't like I wasn't dedicated to him. I was dedicated. And yet all this horrible, it's like I had a target on my back. I couldn't believe for years the level of junk. See, the devil was trying to take me out because, oh, he knew what I was called to. That was for somebody. Come on.
Yeah.
What are you called to that has made the devil so nervous that he's trying to persuade you this isn't going to work for you? Oh, you're not going to be healed. What has God called you to? What has he ordained for you that you're on this journey and the devil's got to do everything in his power to make you think God isn't true or it won't happen for you? What is it you're called to? Because I'll tell you, the devil knows it before we do. I don't know how, but I know he does. I could prove that to you. I'll just give you one example. Edgar Bailey, right? My husband who's with the Lord, who walked in amazing miracles and went all over the world as an evangelist, did not get saved till he was in his 50s. Didn't know about God, didn't know about Jesus, lived like the devil. He was really a rough guy. But do you know that from his birth, Satan tried to kill him 11 times? And every time God saved him out of it, and he didn't even know it was God. Didn't give God the glory. He writes about it in his book. And what I'm saying to you is, how did the devil know, even from when he was a little baby in the crib, the devil tried to take him out. And God did a miracle to spare him. And to my knowledge, I don't even think his folks knew the Lord. So how did the devil know? How does the devil know? I think the devil has read your book. So we have to, you know what kept me alive through those days? Was I knew, I didn't know exactly what, but I knew I was called to do something. And it was all that mattered. I thought, I am not going to let go of this. And every day the Holy Spirit would give me one thing, one piece, one sentence, one scripture, one vision, something that would keep me alive one more day until God could get enough truth in me to stand up and say, take a hike, devil. I don't have to be depressed. Take your depression is a lie, my friend. Depression and suicide, first of all, A, they are foul spirits. They're not just your thoughts. They're not just your emotions. I'm talking to somebody, as you may guess. When depression tries to come on you, it's a spirit. Yes, there's a real living devil. Jesus said so. And it will whisper to you, it's never going to happen for you. Here's the big lie that often comes with depression. It's never going to get any better. God doesn't really care, or he would have done something. That's the very opposite of what the word says. And when, you know, once I realized, wait a minute, you dirty lion dog, it's a devil. It's not my emotions. It's not my circumstances. It's not even my thoughts. This is a dirty devil. And I was actually pretty good at taking him out, but I just didn't know it was him. And I remember thinking, listen, one of us is going down and it's not going to be me. And I started to hit him in the head every day with the word of God. Don't argue with him. It's not a panel discussion. You just do what Jesus did. It is written. It is written. It is written. Because what he's going to do is see, do you really believe what it says, or are you just doing what they said to do in church? Come on. Do you really believe what God has said? And when you start to really believe and say, listen, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it smells like. I don't care what happened. If I have a Bible promise that's to a born-again believer, that's me. And I have legal right to go before God and the devil and say, here's how it is. Did you know that you have legal right? Listen, if you've done the if, listen, a lot of scriptures have an if. They say, if this, then that. If this, then that. Well, make sure you did the if. Some people live like the devil and still want the blessing. No, it doesn't work that way. Now, some things there is no if. Whosoever shall say to the mountain. Well, I guess the if is, shall not doubt his heart, but yeah, believes that those things he says shall come to pass. But you can work on that. If you're not there today, you can get there. You're looking at a person that was absolutely the worst failure in faith that has probably ever lived. And now I'm at a place where it is so easy for me to believe for miracles. It is so easy for me to go, ooh, miracle. Ooh, miracle. Easy. God did that. I didn't do that. God did that. Yeah. But he did that because I kept pressing in, because I finally got a clue that the word is true. Yeah. It's absolute. Heaven and earth are created by the word. The foundation is the word. We will still talk about the word in heaven. There will still be classes on the word in heaven. We will still be learning things that we never dreamed about the word in heaven. If we disregard it like I used to, we're going to have failure. I just want to get the scripture right before I say it. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Pardon my King James. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It's the word, and diligently going after it, and choosing to believe it. Listen, faith is a choice. It's an act of your will. And I'm going to tell you, there are times in the dark of night, Satan likes to get you when maybe you're in pain, or maybe you've had a rough day, or maybe there's something hard. He likes to get you at your low point. You know, maybe you wake up in the middle of the night, you're like, oh, you know, and then he starts in. It's at that point you want to go, nope, wait a minute. I don't care what you feel like. You say, no, it is written. It is written, it is written, it is written. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. And if you won't give, and I'm telling you, I've had encounters with the devil where it truly, I hate to give many credit, but it was truly terrifying. It was scary, and it looked like this is it. You're going down for the last time, it's over. And something in me went, wait. He's the father of lies. The truth is not in him. He has the ability to present himself as having great power, but he doesn't. Jesus stripped him of all his power.
Amen.
But we are the gateway to decide whether we let him persuade us. I actually had the dumb devil show up to me in church one time years ago. I was worshiping. There was a spirit of worship in the church, and I got caught up in it. I mean, unusual way, and I don't know why, but I stepped out into the aisle and I was just stepping forward. It was like I was stepping into heaven, and I was caught up, and the devil showed up in the aisle right in front of me, and he was huge. And I'm not gonna lie, for a moment it was scary. There was a presence of yikes, and I remembered, it was like just a second, and I went, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. And like that, it was gone. He was trying to stop me from entering into the presence. There's always a choice. And it's a lot of times when you're alone, maybe you've had a hard day, maybe things aren't going exactly right, he will present to you this worst case scenario. Oh, this is it. You bought your lunch this time. This is it. You're going down. Well, that's just a lie. That's just not true. You don't have to take that. Behold, I give you authority, Luke 10:19, to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm you. And I'm just going to say, if you enforce the word. So, in one way, I like to look at the word like this is my legal covenant right. There are some times when I use it to beat the devil up, but there's also times when I go before the Lord and I say, Lord, I love you and I revere you, but you said this. You said this. I didn't ask you to say it. You said it before I was born, but you said it. And you're not a man that you should lie. The Bible says you cannot lie. Did he not speak it? Will he not bring it to pass? So, Father, I love you, but I'm holding you to your word. That sounds rough, doesn't it? But it is pleasing to God. You know, the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God is looking for somebody that will believe him in the face of the liar. And I'm going to tell you, especially as the days grow stranger and stranger, God is looking for a body of Christ that will say, oh, no, 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 we're not doing that. We're doing this over here. You see, I started to say this earlier. I used to just say, well, I guess, you know, it's the end times and things are bad and oh, well. But now I see we have the ability to push the times out. Did you know that Josiah, by an act of righteousness, see, Israel was in horrible sin, really horrible sin. And they lost the book of the law. They didn't even know. They didn't even have the Torah anymore. They didn't even have it. The temple was in a mess. And the priest found the book of the law and brought it to the king, who was the young king, remember, he was very young, and brought this book to him. And when he read it, he tore his garments, he tore his robe. He said, oh, we are in terrible sin. We have sinned horribly against God. And he began to go after God. You know what he did? He took the guys that worked for him, they called it like the secretary and the general, all those guys. And he personally went, the king I'm talking about, personally went up on the high places and destroyed every idol because it was bringing a curse on Israel. That's what brings the curse, idolatry. Do you have something in your life that you've put before God? Yeah, God, I'll obey you in all these other areas, but this, I can't give this up. This is my thing. Listen, that's an open door. But if you say, you're God and I'm not, anything you want to do, I will do. Again, it's a journey. If you're not there yet, you can get there. You can grow into this. But you want to grow to the place where he's the king and you're not. And you don't tell him what to do and how to do it. You say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want you to go to this horrible, hot place. Oh, good. Let me pack my bag. Hallelujah. Right? I want you to marry this old guy that you think is weird and you don't like him. Yes, sir. Right?
Right.
You obey him because you know, you get to a place where you know that he knows better than you do. And when you come to that place and he's really God and you're really not, now the blessing of the Lord can come. So Josiah sees that all this idolatry has brought a curse upon Israel. They're in real trouble. So he personally goes, he tears down the Asherah poles, he tears down the altars to Baal. He doesn't just tear them down, it makes me laugh. He burned them, he crushed them. You know, I picture him like burying it, jumping up and down on it, you know, because he hates them so bad. But what he did was he released the presence of God over Israel again. Now, they went to a prophetess, hallelujah, Huldah. They, you know, all you who think women can't preach, the king and all his guys went to find Huldah, who was probably some old lady that they knew heard from God. And she prophesies to him. And she says, Israel will pay a price for what they did, but not till after you're dead. You're going to live your life in favor. And after you're gone, then some things will come to pass. Come on. I think we should talk to God this way. I get it. There's an end time. I get there's terrible things happening. But I'm asking you, Lord, hear my prayer. And I want to spend time before the Lord. Listen, I think we should obliterate some of the plans of the enemy. There's some really wretched plans. And he tries to hide them, but it's all coming open now. It's like it's not even hidden anymore. But you know what? If we pray, we can dismantle some of that. What if we were to pray and say, no, not while we're alive. Not while this generation is on the earth. We have more authority than we've used. Don't just give in to the enemy, but make covenant with God. It's a covenant. You know, I don't know if I have words for this, but even though the covenant is mine and the covenant is yours, there are some things we have not signed until we come into it personally, say, this is mine, and I expect this, Father. This right here, you said this, I'm taking that personally. This is a covenant between you and me. If nobody else takes it, I'm taking it. And I'm going to hold you to it. See, God actually likes that kind of talk. He's looking for someone who will bring his will into the earth because he cares about his kingdom. Do you know that most Christians are all about, most Christians? Their life in God, their prayers are all about me, my life, my, you know, it's reactive praying. This bad thing happened, oh Lord, save me. This bad thing happened, Lord, save me. I want to do this, oh Lord, bring it to pass. And I started that way, and I get it, because we are fleshy people. But at some point, there's a line we can cross where we trade in my life for his. Paul said, "I know it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me." And Paul proved it. He was willing to die at every town, get beat up. 39 stripes, which, you know why they did 39 and not 40? 40 would kill you. That's how bad it was. It would strip the skin off the bones, cat of nine tails, hooks that would pull your flesh out. Didn't happen to him once, it happened again and again. Shipwrecked, And you know what Paul would do? He would just get up and go again. What kind of heart did he have that he was willing to give his life, no matter what it took, to bring the kingdom on earth? And because of it, he was allowed to write about 2/3 of the New Testament. He didn't know we'd still be reading it 2,000 years later. Listen, we're called to something much higher. We've walked in mud pies. We don't have to do that. We can separate ourselves and come before God and say, what is it you would have me do? There is no one in the kingdom that's not important. There's no one unimportant. Everyone's job will be different. That's okay, and that's what it should be. Your job won't look like my job. I can't do what you can do. But what if we were to separate ourselves unto God and unto his word and decide, I'm not going to live according to what this world dictates or what the devil dictates or what my family, this is for somebody in here. Sometimes people's family tries to control them. And this is not for everybody, okay? This is for somebody. Control is of the devil. Now, there are some types of loving, you know, when God is telling you to maintain a peace, that's okay. But if you're trying to tell everybody how to do it, what to do, when to do it, that's an idol. And a lot of people do stuff because they're under the thumb of someone else's control because they have the fear of man or a man-pleasing spirit. I don't know why we're here, but we're here. And if you don't get free from that, you can't fulfill the word of the Lord. You can't fulfill his calling for you for always kowtowing to what everybody thinks or needing to get everybody's approval. Because at some level, see, God continues to promote you, but there are some ceilings you won't be able to bump your head through if you're still worried about what people think. If you're worried they won't like you or they'll persecute you, you go, well, that, you know, I don't want to offend them or I don't want to get beat up. We're not even getting beat up here. We're a bunch of sissies, you know, really. And we worry too much about what everybody thinks, but at some point we have to go, you know what, I'm going to say what you give me to say. I'm going to do what you give me to do, and if they don't like it, they can lump it. Because that's how Jesus was, that's how John the Baptist was, that's certainly how Paul was. And because of it, they were able to go, they were able to break through a barrier. There are barriers. Listen, God has provided everything. Jesus died for you to have everything that heaven allows, but there are barriers we must break through. And it's not barriers that God put there. You understand? There are barriers we have to break through. Some of them are in us. God showed me one time, my friend was praying with me. My life, I'm just going to say it. It was living hell for a while. And I knew I was called to something. And I couldn't understand. And my friend said to me, she said, I've never seen anybody have to go through this much. Why do you have to go through this much? And I jokingly said, it's because if God ever uses me to do anything, we'll all know it was God. And that was the truth. It was the truth then, and it's the truth now. But during that time, I was praying one day. I'll never forget this. And I said, God, this has been so hard. And now this is odd, okay, but things of the Spirit are odd. And it's probably just a parable, not literal. But I saw this like a barrier between earth and heaven. And I felt like I was supposed to pierce it in the spirit. And that if I could pierce it and go through into the spirit, like the walk of the spirit that we teach all the time, that many could follow and it wouldn't be so hard for them. And essentially that is my call, to help people come into the walk of the spirit, into the heavenly things, and not just have to live in an earthly manner. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there are things in us, you know, it says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, right? You know, open wide, I'm misquoting it, I'm sorry, I'm clobbering the scripture, but lift up your heads, O ye gates. Well, some people think those gates are in us, that the doors that are shut are things in us. We want God to do stuff. Oh God, let me raise the dead. Oh God, use me. But sometimes he can't because we're still in it with wrong motives. Come on. We have to be delivered. And listen, the closer you get to them, the more you really lose. You know, that's got to go. Right?
Yeah.
I still seek the Lord to change me when I find something that opposes him. We're supposed to take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And sometimes you see something in yourself and you know it's not godly, but you just kind of smooth it over, you know. I've always been that way, that's my personality. But if it's not godly, shouldn't we get rid of it?
Yeah.
And so I've taken to, I don't care, I still do it. I still do it, I do it now. If I see something in me and I go, wait a minute, that's ugly. That's not God. Those thoughts, that's not God. Like, you know, having a snotty attitude, even if your face is smiling. Or judging someone, even if you're nice to them. No one ever sees it but the heart. That's not right. And I've gone before the Lord and said, we're not leaving here. We're not ending this conversation until that is gone. Because whenever we get rid of earthly, carnal, or demonic stuff, it's a gate, it's a door, it opens the way. Now we're free to move about the country. We're free to travel. We're free to, what I mean is we're free to imbibe heaven. We're free to move in the things of the Spirit. So we should be getting freer and freer and freer and freer. Is it making sense?
Yeah.
God is calling us to come to a higher place. You know, I used to not like Paul. I thought he was an old crank, and I thought he didn't like women. I didn't like him. When I first read the Bible, I did not like Paul. And I remember, this is so embarrassing, but I had one of those itty-bitty little Bibles, and I remember reading what Paul said about women, and I literally, I was very young, okay, I was real young, okay, so forgive me, but I went, God wouldn't say that. That's what I said, because I knew God loved me, and I knew he didn't think I was stupid. And I thought that Paul thought women were stupid. And I know I'm not stupid. I'm a lot of things, but I'm not stupid. I'm just being honest with you.
Yeah.
But over the years, I came to love Paul because I saw in him someone that would pay any price for the gospel message. He would pay any price over and over. They'd beat him up, leave him for dead. He'd get up and go again. They'd throw him in jail. And he would say, okay, I can't preach, but I can write. I'll write. I'll help him by writing. They stick him in the stocks. Say, well, I can't write, but I can worship. Remember?
Yeah.
Him and Silas, they worshiped until there was an earthquake. And then somebody ends up getting saved anyway. He wouldn't quit. He wouldn't quit. I'm like, I want to be like Paul. I want to be like that. I want to have something from God. I want my life to let your life count for something. That something has happened, and it's not about you being used or being seen as spiritual or being, you know, impressing people with your whatevers, right? If we can get past all that garbage and say, listen, I don't care if I'm an ant in the corner of the room, if I could do something that would make your name known. See, that doesn't come overnight, but as you pray into it, God morphs your heart. He changes your heart. He changes the way you see. He changes the way you see the kingdom and the body of Christ. And people who are schnooks. Do you ever meet a Christian who's just a schnook? I'm dating myself, you can tell I'm old. That's why I just a little joke. That's why I quote the King James, because like I had a date with him once. So, that was a joke. I'm old, okay.
That was a sex quarter.
But if you start to seek the Lord to have the heart that John the Baptist had, at first you're praying it, you might not see changes right away, but if you keep praying that over time, you begin to meet somebody, and instead of saying, boy, that guy is a schnook, you say, oh, you know, I think I could get him free. I think maybe I could help him if I just, you know, if I just listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to cram it down his throat. I'm not going to tell him what to do, but I'm going to listen to God, and if God gives me something that can help him look upward, why then, maybe I can help this guy. Then we'll be schnookless. So God is trying to raise us up to be heaven in the earth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so, Father, we just lift this before you. We want your word. We want to be believers of your word. We want to, if there's an argument between the devil and God, we want to choose what God has said, no matter what it looks like. We want to choose what your word has said. We want to make a choice. I will believe the word of God. Amen. So, Father, I thank you, and I thank you that every person in here is precious to you. They're very precious to you. I see precious, precious hearts. I see one person's heart. I saw it during worship. And it was just full of like nettles, stinging nettles, pokes and stabs, and many, many difficulties. And it has caused you to be a bit abrasive. not looking at anyone, just saying. But God loves you, and I see him so gently saying, let me pick out the thorns, because you've had a lot of things spoken to you and done to you over the years that have caused you to react that way. You know, we are kind of the product of what we went through. But I see God saying, don't judge yourself based on that. Let me work with you to erase the pain from your heart and make your heart new again so that you can love like I love and you can receive love. You've not ever been able to really receive my love. You can quote, Jesus loves you. You can say, God loves you. But you've never personally been able to receive how much I love you, because that seems a mystery to you. But I want to heal your heart so healed, so full, that you can receive the love of God and walk in it continually. Because if you don't receive the love of God, you can't really love others. You have to know he loves you no matter what. He loves you no matter what. Okay, so God is doing some changes for us. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from Spirit of God Worldwide.com.